First time here, if you've been here in a while, we're in the middle of a worship series, a teaching series called a spiritual heart check. And what we've been doing is looking at our hearts and looking at the health of them, the spiritual health of them. And we've looked at some symptoms of an unhealthy heart, and now we're talking about causes. What are some of the causes of an unhealthy heart and specific treatments for those causes? One of the causes for an unhealthy heart is unresolved hurts. We're going to focus our attention there this morning. And to help us do so, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And if you need a Bible, there's a table of them right there. You can get up. There's a column right there. Feel free to get up and grab a Bible. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. If you're using one of the Bibles on that table, that's found on page 828. Ephesians chapter 4. Before we read, would you pray with me again? Father in heaven, I'm going to take the next few moments and turn our attention to your word. And as we do, call upon your spirit to be at work among us. As we look at your word and as we examine our hearts, we call upon you to speak to us. Challenge us. Encourage us. Convict us. Open up our ears and our hearts to receive what it is that you have to say to us today. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading at verse 17, and then we'll go through the end of the chapter. Here Paul says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So people of God, tell me this. How many of you have ever been hurt by someone else's words or actions? Please raise your hand. All right. That's kind of what I thought. If you are alive and you come into contact with other living people on a regular basis, there's a good chance that sooner or later someone will do something that'll hurt you. Getting hurt by other people is a part of life. It's a part of life for all of us who raised our hands. In fact, I have yet to meet someone who has never experienced being hurt by someone else. Each time we are hurt, our heart, the wellspring of our life, is affected. Each hurt leaves a little mark. Each hurt steals a little life. Each hurt desiccates and dehydrates the wellspring of our hearts. And if left untreated or unresolved, these hurts have cumulative destructive power. Therefore, I ask you this. How many of you here this morning are carrying around unresolved hurts in your heart? If you are, the Apostle Paul says to us, watch out. He says, watch out if you're carrying unresolved hurts in your heart. Why? Because unresolved hurts have power. They have the power to tear a marriage apart. Do you know of anyone? Are you friends with anyone whose marriage has been or is being torn apart by unresolved hurts? Unresolved hurts have the power to devastate family systems, my own included. There's decades of unresolved hurts that are tearing my family apart. Unresolved hurts have the power to wreck a workplace environment. Anybody ever work in a hostile work environment? Where things go unresolved, get pushed under the rug or into a cubicle? Not a fun place to be, is it? It can wreck it. Unresolved hurts have the power to destroy church communities. Literally destroy them. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Paul says, watch out. Watch out for unresolved hurts. Initially, we don't think it matters all that much. The hurt, it wasn't that bad. But then another hurt comes on top of it. And then another. And because we don't address or resolve the hurts, they keep piling up. Soon those hurts turn into bitterness. And after that, our bitterness changes into resentment. And subsequently, our resentment turns into anger. And as a result of all this, the devil now has a foothold on our heart, the wellspring of our life. Therefore, Paul says to us in our text for today, he says, do not sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives the devil a foothold. Paul says, don't let your hurt go unresolved. If you do, the devil is going to gain access to your heart. If we let our hurts go unresolved, if we let the sun go down on them, our hurts will start to control us. Our hurts will turn into bitterness. And our bitterness will turn into resentment. And our resentment will turn into anger. Instead of holding on to our hurts, instead of holding on to our bitterness, instead of holding on to our anger, Paul says a few verses later, get rid of it.
He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Paul says to you and to me, he says, don't hold on to those hurts. And get rid of the byproducts of those hurts. He says, get rid of your bitterness. Get rid of your rage. Get rid of your anger. Your malice. But how, you're asking, Pastor Henry, how? How do we get rid of our hurts? The answer is in the next verse. Here Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Paul says, get rid of your hurts by forgiving. Forgive each other as Christ forgave you. The treatment Paul describes, and the treatment that Paul prescribes for the unresolved hurts in our heart, the cause of our pain, is forgiveness. It says, forgive. The difficulty with this treatment is that forgiveness is not always an easy thing. What the doctor is prescribing us here is not necessarily a very easy prescription. Sometimes our doctor prescribes exercise more, right? Get out and go run a few miles. Right? That hurts too, right? Not it's easy for some of us, I look around, but for others of us, right? Not always an easy prescription. That's right. He prescribes forgiveness. Forgiveness is not always an easy thing. I was reminded of this last week while reading The Secret Life of Bees. How many have read that book? Anybody read the book, Secret Life of Bees? I thought Gail would. All right. That's right. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I heard there's a movie out now. Now I read the book, I can see the movie. Read the book. Toward the end of the book, Sue Monk Kidd, the author, writes this wonderful paragraph describing the difficulty of forgiveness. Here she says, people, in general, would rather die than forgive. It's that hard. If God said in plain language, I'm giving you a choice, forgive or die, a lot of people would go ahead and order their coffin. We'd rather die than forgive. Forgiving is hard. We think dying would be easier. A lot of people would go ahead and order their coffin. I like that. Why is forgiveness hard? Because forgiveness takes trust. In order to forgive, we need to trust God with our hurt. Why is forgiveness hard? Because we have to be willing to let go. In order to forgive, we have to be willing to let go of our hurt. Sometimes the hurt's such a part of our life, we don't know any different. It's hard to let it go. Although forgiveness is not an easy thing to do, it is a necessary thing for us to do in order to guard the health of our hearts. Above all else, what? Guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of your life. Not easy, but it's necessary in order to guard the health of our hearts. It's necessary because if we don't, Jesus says, you and I won't be able to experience God's grace or extend justice to our relationships with others. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew 6. Here Jesus says, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." It's a correlation, Jesus says, between giving and receiving forgiveness. If we withhold it, we're not going to be able to receive it. Jesus reminds us that if we want to experience the forgiveness of God in its fullness, you and I also need to forgive in its fullness as well. In order to guard the health of our hearts, you and I need to forgive. In order for you and I to find and experience the peace in our hearts, we need to forgive. So how do we do it? How is it that we forgive? We begin by identifying and acknowledging the hurt. We need to be able to name it. We need to be able to articulate it. We need to be able to validate it. A lot of times, the hurts, where do they go? Right? Right under here. Right? You see them under there? Can you see it, George? They're there. Right? We sweep them. Right? And we pretend that they're not there anymore. Right? I just push it away. It'll go away. It'll go away. The problem is, they start to pile up, right? And then, pretty soon, we trip over them. Right? They don't go away if we push them, if we stuff them, if we hide them, right? So we got to lift it up. What's in there? What's under there? What's hiding? Yeah, a lot of dust and dirt, right? The same is true for our hearts. It doesn't always look so good under the carpet. What's the hurt? In order to resolve it, you have to know what it is. Once you know what it is, then you have to give it to God. You have to be able to name it, and then hand it. You have to give the person who hurt you and the pain that you have within over to God. Not always an easy thing to do, but necessary if you want to guard your heart. Instead of holding on to our hurts, we hand them over. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12. He says, "Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the Scriptures say, 'I will take revenge. I will pay them back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." So often, we want to just hold on to the hurt. We want to be in control of it. Sometimes we want to use it to control the other person. Hold it against them. What does that do to the health of our heart? What does that do to the health of the relationship? We want to get even. Right? We want to get fair. We want to get revenge. When our heart is in that place, Paul says again, watch out. Guard your heart against that. Instead, he says, take that pain, take that hurt, and hand it over. Articulate it and hand it over. Entrust it to the Lord. The Lord will take revenge. Let Him call the shots. Let Him deal with it. Trust Him. Don't trust yourself. Trust Him. I was reminded of this truth while reading the paper last week. Did any of you read the story about the man who forgave the woman that kidnapped his daughter? Anybody? Kyler, you read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Listen to part of the story and what the father said. This was in March 3. Barton Dieters writes this in his report. He says, the father of an 11-month-old infant who was plucked from a church nursery and kidnapped by Tabitha Reed this summer said he has decided to forgive his child's abductor. I offer my forgiveness, said Tom Nolf, moments before Reed was sentenced to between 4 and 20 years today in Kent County Circuit Court. He says, the bottom line is I hold no animosity against her. I have to look at this from a religious perspective, Noel said. Jesus told us to forgive. Over time, I had to let go of the animosity. Two times, Tom said, I had to let go. I had to let go. He was holding it close. And the animosity and the anger and the revenge was brewing right here. But over time, he said, I had to let go. So forgiveness is, it's letting go of the animosity. It's getting rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, malice. Paul says, rid of it. Let it go. Trust the Lord, he says. Trust. In order to let go, we have to make a decision. The next step, we have to make a decision to forgive. It's not about feeling like it. It's an act of the will. I forgive you. If left up to feelings, I don't think we'd ever feel like forgiving. When people hurt me, I don't feel like giving them a break or forgiving them. Right? I feel like holding it on. I feel like getting even. I feel like punching them back. As I'm feeling all those things, how do you think my wellspring is doing? What's coming out of it? It's not life, I'll tell you that. In order to forgive, we have to make a decision of our will. Tom Nolf, right? He had to come to the point where he said, I forgive you. I no longer hold animosity against you. You kidnapped my daughter. And I let it go. Until he did that, the animosity controlled his heart. The same is true for me. I know it to be true. And I know the same is true for you. Until you and I decide to forgive our spouse, until we decide to forgive our coworker, until we decide to forgive our friends at school, the hurts that they give us are going to control our hearts. Therefore, we need to decide to forgive. It just doesn't happen. We need to do it. And then we need to do it again. Then we need to forgive again. And then again. And then what? Again. And again. And again. When Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Yeah? The number of completion? 7? Is that enough?" What does Jesus say? He says, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Where's our mathematicians? How many is that? 490. This message would get really boring if I said again and again and again and again 490 times. But that's what Jesus says. How often do we have to name it and let it go and decide to forgive? Again and again and again. Paul says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Begs the question, how did the Lord forgive you? How did the Lord forgive you? How did the Lord forgive you? 7 times? 8? 23? 127? 5,648? The Lord forgives all things. Paul says, forgive that way. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Let go as many times as the Lord has let go of yours. Got to name it. You've got to be able to let go of it. You've got to decide to do it. You've got to decide to do it. For other people, but also for the Lord. Sometimes we can let other people off the hook, but we keep God on one. How could you? Why? What were you? We hang on to there. We hang on to these things. I can't believe. You have no right. When we hang on to those things, what is it doing to our hearts? What's it doing to the wellspring? Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 37. Here the psalmist says to us, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." The psalmist says, trust in the Lord. The psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord. The psalmist says, commit your way to the Lord. Put your hope in Him. And He will renew your heart. We need to identify it. Right? We need to let it go. We need to decide to do so. We need to let people off the hook. We need to let God off the hook. And we need to embrace the grace that God gives to live in the new reality. Sometimes all we know is the hurt reality. Right? And we may not like it, but this is what we know. So rather than moving away from it or letting it go, we stay there. In order to be able to forgive, we need to be able to move it and then step away into this a new reality. To do so takes trust. We need to trust in God's grace here as much as here. Step away. Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Would you pray with me?